Accession number 17984, Reel 5.
Jim Hertz, Reel 5. So, you were telling me about these operations.
In North East, yes. So the fighting patrols would go out. The only thing about the fighting patrols was not only the German contingents, but of course they obviously hadn't been there long enough and long while. They knew where they'd put booby traps, landmines. So our heart was always in our mouth, because we wouldn't know, would we? But fortunately, only once did we lose someone, and that was Sergeant Bryden, the chap who used to play jokes with that German prisoner. He was out on a fighting patrol, and he was the one that trod on landmine booby trap.
Were you out with him then?
I wasn't there. And it seemed funny, because Slaggy Bryden was not a coward. But for some reason, when his detail came up to take the lads out that night, he seemed to be finding every excuse not to go, which was amazing, you know, for Slaggy Bryden. So he was a Scotsman. It's almost as if, when it believes in that sort of thing, he knew this would be his last trip. His body had to be left there. He knew he was dead, his body had to be left there. While they carried on. Then he decided to bring his body back first daylight. And of course, not a problem, but also, he had the naffy money on him. They wanted him. No, I'm joking, but it's true. He did have to have some naffy money. But the point is, the problem of bringing back anybody, you've got to creep up to them. You've got to tie ropes on them. And you've got to get well back safely to pull them. Because you don't know the Germans haven't put more booby traps on him. So we've got to pick up your injured or dead mate. You do yourself more harm than good. And the shame with Slaggy Bryden, the cause of his death on this flipping booby trap landmine thing was only one small piece of metal that had hit him in the wrong spot into his heart. Just one bit. But that was that. Now, to get back to something I said earlier on, when you asked me how did the soldiers feel, and as I said, they took everything in their stride. There was no one scared or frightened, apprehensive, yes. But it did happen in this part of North Italy, where on two occasions we had to send two chaps away. A sergeant, my friend in Wales, I'll give you his address, he remembers it because he was our sergeant major. Around the barbed wire that we'd put up on our front, where the patrols would go from, when a patrol was going out at night, one part of the barbed wire was open, made to open. They went through there. But you never came back the same way. Whether it deceived the Germans who might be looking or not, there was another designated place that you came back. But before the patrol went out, they were given a password. A simple password he couldn't forget. And this one in particular that day, I remember, it was wallpaper. So that if you was the patrol coming back, arm on guard around the wires, halt, you shout out, I would shout out wall, you answered paper, I knew it was our lads, in the dark. Having given that code word, password, the patrol was ready to go. And suddenly, I forget his name, big chap, a jock, one of the jocks, who knew, he suddenly went off his head. He starts running about shouting, wallpaper, wallpaper, wallpaper. This is late at night with the Jerry troops only over the other side of the hill. Wallpaper, wallpaper, he's shouting. So Cyril, my son, major friend, he had no option. He just walked up to him and punched him straight on the flipping jaw. He had to, you know, the quiet.
Why was he going berserk?
Don't know. This is, when you ask me how the chaps felt with all this, this might be one answer. Stress. The worry of going out on night patrols knowing Germans could be round behind any bush. Because we lost one listening post. Whether that listening post fouled and went to sleep, careless, I don't know, we don't know. But during the night, they were sent out, about four of them. And during the night, we were woken by machine gun fire. And we thought, our lads are firing on someone. And they're not supposed to. They're only a listening post. Couldn't do any more. But they never radioed back. So it made things look suspicious. We couldn't do much about it. Crack of dawn, went out to look for them. And there they were dead. And the funny thing is, don't ask me how, don't ask me why, because it just seems so full of holes, what I'm saying. But their brain gun had been fired. We didn't hear any other, the German type of machine gun, but now, we don't know now whether they'd fallen asleep and a German patrol had come up, but then I can't imagine the Germans wanted to do that. They had their own guns, wouldn't they? So, but they were dead. Well, those sort of things can prey on other soldiers' minds, see. So, no doubt that's why this chap went bomb happy when things like this happen. The other case of a chap going off his napper was Corporal Auburn, Lance Corporal Auburn, who I knew well because I was in the building trade. He was a young architect. Nice chap. No different to when he was. And one night they had to go out from our front little bit where our slit trenches were, camp night, wet, to go over the hill at night just to see if they can disturb the Germans. They were warned to keep low because no doubt you would know we did the same. Any firing would be enfilade, so you couldn't go through the corridors, you know. So we had to keep down low. And the orders were given, look, hold it. There were some shots fired somewhere. We didn't know where. What? Dig yourself in. Well, we had little back axes. But Auburn started scraping to get down lower in the land because it was muddy. It had been a wet, snowy, hailey season, and he's scraping away, and it's night time. And evidently, he was overcome with stench. Terrible stench. You know what he was doing? Not far below where he was lying, where he was, must have been a dead body, be it German or what. And he was disemboweling this dead body. And it affected him so much that he just went, he just lost all control. He wasn't the same. He had to be sent away. Which was a shame because he was a smashing bloke. There were dead bodies there, we know. Just outside our barbed wire, there was one little homemade German cross. Had a German name on it, and the smell of that, we said he can't be very far down wherever he is. I'm trying to think what happened after that. I think virtually our fighting days were over. Because while we was up in the area, that I think the Germans had surrendered. We're getting on to 95.
VE Day?
Yeah, I'm sure. When I look at my diary, I can check that with the dates. I'm sure. But before I leave that area, again, funny little episode. I told you before that further down, we'll say on our left flank, were Gurkhas. But to bring stuff up to where we were, we used the echelon delivery. Stuff would be brought up to one part, then another part. Then we would come down, send chaps down to escort. They would be mules this time. Escort the chaps with the mules back to where we were. And in going down to this particular base, and I remember when it was my job to go with my mate Wally, we set off at dusk. We stopped in a barn, crafty like, we thought, well, we're early, we'll have a couple of hours kip, soldiers doing the when we're in this old barn. We had sleeping bags, we never had blankets, being mountaineers. We unrolled our sleeping blankets, crawled in, but we couldn't get to sleep. There was a couple of flipping rats running about the barn. Oh, we've got to get rid of them. So we had torches. Started to chase the rats. One ran behind where we'd put our hat, our tin hats. We never wore tin hats, we had to carry them. Jocks never did wear tin hats, not even on patrol or... Never. But we had to carry them. We'd hung them up with the camouflage netting over it on this wooden division wall. And one of the rats we were chasing dived in behind one of the hats. So we slammed the hat against the wall, found some spiky bits of metal and nailed it to the wall so we could get some sleep, and left its tail hanging out. We timed it felt for a couple of hours. When we woke up, you know, getting dawn, and there's the rat still there, his tail's there. So we said, right, carefully pull it away. One of us has got a stick to hit it. And as we pulled the hat away, the tail fell down, and there was a big hole through about 2 inches of timber. He gnawed a hole through there and gnawed his tail off as well to get away. I thought, so poor bugger. They all suffer in war, don't they? And the other funny part of that bit of Italy once happening, as we went down to pick up the mules and the mule drivers, there was one area we passed on this mountainous hilly bit that was more open, and we'd the army put up notice boards, notices. From here on a certain distance, you are under enemy observation. It was a warning. Well, funny enough, some of our patrols used to get shot flying about. Never shot them, but shots were coming that, you know. But the peculiar thing, it wasn't coming from that area where it was coming from the flank. And cut the story short, you know what it turned out to be? I told you, the Gurkhas were down there. Well, I told you just now, we never wore steel hats, the jocks. And on loose parade, we wore our ski hat with a big sun. And of course, the Germans had a hat similar to this. I don't know if one of my photos I've got one of those hats on. And because from a distance, the Gurkhas could see soldiers with German type hats on, it was they who were firing. We found that out, and when I asked them, they said, and finally, I don't know why the Gurkhas should say it, they thought we were Tedeschi, which is Italian for German. Thought we were Tedeschi.
So after VE Day, did you go into Austria?
Yeah. We went to Austria for one reason. The Russians were coming through claiming rights on, you know, wherever they came through. And in Austria, this part of Austria was a big airfield, Klagenfurt. And so we were rushed over there to take up in the village of Villach, Murol, around Klagenfurt. Klagenfurt, yeah. More or less to put the Union Jack up. More or less so the Russians carry on, they can see, they can't come any further, this is now British or Allied occupation. And it was from there, really, that practically the war for us was over.
Did you see anything of these Russians or Yugoslavs who were sent back?
It's funny, because when I was checking my notes up, I think it was somewhere in Italy or somewhere. I got a note, only a short note. In your diaries, I wasn't concerned. I'm mostly about, you know, the tricks we were getting up to, not fighting. But I realised going through me little diary things, saw my first Russian soldiers. And that was in Italy somewhere.
What impression did the Russians make on you?
I don't know. That's the only note I've got. Saw my first Russian soldiers. I think it was in Italy when I checked. It might have been somewhere else. I'm not sure.
What relations did you have with the Austrian civilians?
Oh, we got on well with the Austrians. I mean, when we arrived in the village of Villach, Murol, we were told strictly no fraternising. That was the law once the war was over. The troops weren't allowed to fraternise with the locals. Because that was wishful thinking. We got on well with the Austrians. And to us, coming from the countries we'd been in, to see green fields, green hills, brown and white cows, people that clean, people that had clean washing, clean, you know, it was, to us, it was like coming home. Oh, no fraternising, no, but we... They even used to yodel at night. No joke, we were yodelling across the flipping hills. Joke.
Did you exchange things with them?
They started teaching a bit of German. Weren't there long enough to learn much. That was set up. One of the German ladies, teachers, started to teach us, but we weren't there long enough. All I remember of what German I was learning then about the room's got four walls, der Raum hat vier, and Ein Fußboden and things like that, you know.
What was the attitude of the villagers in Austria towards the Russians coming?
No, fearful, didn't want that. They were pleased that we got there first, before the Russians did, they were pleased. Going off track, talking of the Austrians, it was in Italy, somewhere around about Cavallo, and we had to clear out a German office that had been held by a German, probably a company commander or someone. And I came across voting papers, while they were in Italy. Again, I've lost them. Usual. Yeah. It was when Hitler was asking, what if we're in Italy? I mean, this is going back before the war started. When Hitler was making Austria join the Third Reich. And these voting papers in German were explaining, do you or don't you want to join the Third Reich? And you had to put yes or ja or nein. And ja was a big square like that, ja. And underneath it, nein, was a small little square you could hardly see. Oh, I wish I'd have saved those ballot papers, voting papers. Because there they were. What they were doing in that German office in Italy, I don't know. But they were there.